This evening we're continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, and we've come to the first of 15 speeches from a father to his son. These speeches or discourses form the content of chapters 1 through 9, and that is as far as I'm planning to go in this series. Perhaps in these discourses we have Solomon addressing his son and heir Rehoboam. Or perhaps this is Solomon recalling what his father David said to him. Or perhaps this is simply a device for communicating these messages, for communicating divine wisdom. Ultimately, God is the Father, God is the teacher, and we are all the Son, the one being addressed. The first speech runs from chapter 1, verse 8, through to chapter 1, verse 19. This evening we're only going to consider the introduction to this speech, which is really a little message all by itself. It's just two verses, verses 8 and 9, and they're not too hard to understand. In this text we have God's wisdom for children. This is a message for all the kids here this evening. And there are some things for parents here as well. So let's begin by reading the text. I'm going to read aloud from verse 1 to give some context. Please follow along in your Bible, and then we'll pray and commit our time to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And here is our text. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Amen. Let us pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. I pray now that you would help us to understand it. I pray that you would help even the little ones here this evening to understand the simple message here. We commit ourselves into your hands, and we ask this in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. First thing I want to do this evening is simply open up the text to you, and then from there we'll go to some other places in Scripture to fill out our understanding. I've called this first point the message explained. The message explained. It's interesting that immediately after mentioning the fear of the Lord, Solomon turns our attention to parents. The foundation for all that follows in this book is the fear of the Lord. It is the source, the fountainhead for all moral knowledge, for all wisdom. And the first stone that is laid upon that foundation is what we might call the fear of parents. Our parents are our first authority. We relate to our parents before we relate to God. We learn to obey them before we're even conscious that there is a God. And of course, as children, when we honour our parents, we really are honouring God. I often think of teenagers in this respect. They might be living for the Lord at school, they might be involved at church, but if they're not honouring their parents at home, then there is a major problem with their Christian life. And sometimes I think this gets overlooked. When it comes to young people, we're so concerned with the impact of technology and with the sexual temptation that is everywhere that we neglect this vital part of their life, the way they are relating to mum and dad. That's probably more important. If that's not right, then all of these other problems and temptations are going to be amplified. Our relationship to our parents is foundational to the rest of our life. If we don't learn to submit to them, if we don't learn to honour and obey them, then we will struggle with authority all of our life. Our text is very clear. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Listen to what your father has to say. Listen to what he tells you to do. Pay attention to your dad's advice. Pay attention to his warnings. Listen to his correction. But don't just listen, do it. That's the sense here. Obey. Put your father's instruction into practice. Be corrected. I like what Matthew Henry says in his commentary on this verse. Hear the instruction of thy father. Hear it and heed it. Hear it and bid it welcome and be thankful for it and subscribe to it. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Don't just listen to your father, listen to your mother. Do what she says as well. This word forsake means to reject, to push away. Your mother tells you to do something and you say, no, you don't want to do it. That's forsaking the law of your mother, and it's wrong. There is also the idea here of teaching. This is the teaching of the mother. She tells you how to do something. She teaches you the right way to behave. She teaches you good manners. She teaches you about life and love and relationships. Don't forsake her teaching. Don't reject it. She knows what she's talking about. It's her God-given responsibility to teach you these things. One of the things that grieves me when I see it, and especially on those occasions when I see it in my own home, is when children disregard their mothers, when they treat their mothers with contempt. We fathers have to jump on that when we see it. We have to enforce what Solomon talks about here, the law of the mother. Our children are not to forsake it. I love how Solomon gives this weight to mothers and to what mothers do in the home. They have this solemn authority. It's not just the father. In verse 9, Solomon gives his son, and by extension all children, a very good reason for why they ought to listen to the instruction of their father and the law of their mother. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. If the little girls here this evening like jewellery, they should be clued right into this. This is a reference to that which adorns a person. Think of a wreath, a crown made of flowers, and think of beautiful jewellery. Obeying your mum and dad is like wearing these. It will make you a beautiful person, a handsome person. That's the idea here. Your character will shine. It will be very attractive to others. Listen to what John Gill says in his commentary on this verse. The instructions and laws of parents, being attended unto and obeyed by children, render them more lovely and amiable than any beautiful ornament whatever that can be put upon their heads. And isn't this true, parents? You can dress your children in their best clothes. You can do their hair up real nice. They can have new shiny shoes on their feet. But there's nothing that makes them look so good in your eyes as their obedience. A child who listens and obeys, a child who is courteous and respectful, is a beautiful child, no matter what they're wearing. And the opposite is also true. When a child is rude, disobedient, and disrespectful, it doesn't matter what they're wearing, they're not very attractive, are they? Their appearance is marred by their attitude and their behaviour. And this is not just true for little children. This is true for teenagers and for young adults and even to those of us who are older. Rightly relating to one's parents is at the core of good character. It lies at the heart of a character that is pleasing to others and ultimately to the Lord. Doesn't it change our view of a person's character when we see them behave disrespectfully towards their parents or when they badmouth their parents? That leaves a sour taste in our mouth, doesn't it? They might have otherwise come across as very considerate, very moral, very godly, but if their attitude towards their parents is wrong, that changes our perspective somewhat, because that relationship is fundamental. Even if someone has ungodly parents, parents who did a bad job, there is still a respectful, dignified way of talking about them. They can be truthful about their parents, their flaws and their failings, but in a manner that is appropriate and considerate. And so, this is the message explained, and it's very simple. God would have children listen to and obey their parents. Now, as I'm sure you know, what Solomon was saying here was not novel. He wasn't the first person in Scripture to give this wisdom, nor was he the last. And that's what I want us to see next. The message explained, now the message established in the Scriptures. We find God's wisdom for children right back in the Ten Commandments, don't we? And it's interesting that we have it given in a similar way. There is a command followed by a promise, by an incentive, by a reason to obey. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment, honour thy father and thy mother. In our text, Solomon has simply explained this. He's given the application, honour thy father and thy mother. How? Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The fifth commandment is followed by a promise, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The children of Israel would enjoy long life in the land they were going to possess if they honoured their parents. And the Apostle Paul picked up on this centuries later in his letter to the Ephesians. The New Testament teaches exactly the same thing as the Old Testament. God's wisdom for children is exactly the same in every age. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I'm sure you know these verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. A long life and a good life was not just promised to obedient children in the Old Testament, but also to obedient children in the New Testament, in the church age. I think the best way to think about this is to consider the opposite, especially as it relates to the promise that it may be well with thee. It doesn't go well for a child who disobeys their parents, does it? Even if they have parents who disregard their disobedience, even if their disobedience is permitted, in the long run that child suffers. They become frustrated and angry when they are told no, when they don't get their own way. They're always pushing back against authority in the classroom, in the workplace, in society. They have no rule over their own soul because they never learn to submit to the rule of their parents. And life doesn't go well for them. They end up being an unhappy person, deeply dissatisfied, and they don't have the kind of character that Solomon spoke of. There is no ornament of grace upon their head, no chains of gold about their neck. From Exodus to Proverbs to Ephesians, we see God's wisdom for children established. The message of the Bible is very clear. But I think we need to go one step further. We need more than mere instruction. It's always good to have an example to follow, isn't it? It's tremendously helpful to see God's wisdom lived out. And to do this, we need look no further than our Lord Jesus Christ. The message explained, the message established, thirdly and finally, the message exemplified. Jesus was perfectly obedient to God's law. And of course, that meant he kept the fifth commandment. He honoured his mother and his father. Jesus applied the wisdom of Solomon. I wonder if he was taught this very text when he went to the synagogue school as a boy in Nazareth. I'm sure this would have formed the substance of at least one lesson. I can imagine parents asking the rabbi to teach on Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. When we consider the life of Jesus, We see that he honoured his earthly parents, his mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph, and he honoured his heavenly Father, God the Father, the one who had been his Father in eternity from before the foundation of the world. And he very literally did what our text says. Jesus heard the instruction of his Father. He listened to what God the Father had to say to him, and he put that into practice. Let me share with you a selection of verses that bear this out. First of all, a verse back in the Old Testament, one that Brother Steve has pointed out to us before, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. You can turn there if you like, or you can read the verse for yourself later on. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. This is the servant of Jehovah. This is the Messiah. He says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." This verse gives us a remarkable insight into the relationship between Jesus and God the Father. Jesus was taught by the Lord God, by his Father. He was taught how to speak appropriate words of comfort to those who were weary. In his humanity, Jesus learned things. He needed instruction just as we do, and that's difficult for us to comprehend given that we know he was deity. He was a real man and at the same time Almighty God. And yet it's clear in the New Testament that Jesus learned things. The picture we have in this verse in Isaiah is of Jesus, the Messiah, being woken up each morning by his Father in order to receive instruction. Let me share with you what one commentator has written. I think it's helpful. The prophets received special revelations from God, for the most part in the night, either in dreams or else in visions, which were shown them in a waking condition, but yet in the more susceptible state of nocturnal quiet and rest. Here, however, the servant of Jehovah receives the divine revelations neither in dreams nor visions of the night. But every morning, that is, when his sleep is over, Jehovah comes to him, awakens his ear by making a sign to him to listen, and then takes him, as it were, into the school after the manner of a pupil and teaches him what and how he is to preach. We can only wonder how this took place, how exactly the Father taught Jesus in the morning hours. But when we go over to the New Testament, this is confirmed for us. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Let's put these two together. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. But it wasn't just his Father's teaching, it was his Father's commandments that Jesus heard and obeyed. Listen to what he said over in John chapter 14, verse 31. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." The whole of Jesus' life was lived in submission to his heavenly Father. He put the wisdom in our text into practice. He lived it out. But it wasn't just in relation to his heavenly Father. He did so in relation to Mary and Joseph. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 51. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." In other words, Jesus was obedient to his parents. Jesus is the example that you children need to follow. You need to obey your parents like he did. That's wise. That's what pleases God, the one who created you, the one who has filled your life with so many good things. And Jesus is the example that we grown-ups need to follow as well. we need to listen to and submit to our Heavenly Father. Jesus always sought to please the Father, and so should we. So, this is God's wisdom for children. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forget not the law of thy mother. As I've said, it's very simple. But it's not always easy to do, is it? And this leads me to one last thing I want to say, and then we'll be done. Now, please listen up, children. This is especially for you. Maybe you've not been paying much attention, maybe what I've said so far has been hard for you to understand, but please listen now. I'm sure you can understand this, if I can have all the eyes of the children looking towards the front. Obeying mum and dad is hard sometimes, isn't it? You want to obey because you love them, but then there are times when you don't want to obey, isn't there? There are times, maybe lots of times, when you disobey. There are times when you get angry and upset, isn't that right? There are times when you do bad things, things that make your parents sad. If we're honest, we have to admit that we can't obey our parents properly, can we? We can't keep any of God's commandments very well at all. We disobey. We tell lies. We fight with our brother or our sister. We say rude words. We do bad things at school when the teacher is not looking. We try to be good, don't we, kids? And we fail. We fail all the time. What we need is God's help, don't we? We need God to help us do the right thing. And boys and girls, that starts with God giving us a new heart. God needs to change us on the inside. The Bible calls this being born again. And when God gives us a new heart, that's when he starts to help us obey. He helps us say no to those bad things we want to do. He helps us to obey our parents, our school teachers, and so forth. Boys and girls, I wonder if you have a new heart. I wonder if you're a Christian. That's what a Christian is, a person who has been born again, a person who has a new heart and become part of God's family. Boys and girls, a new heart is a gift from God. It's the greatest present we've ever been offered. Better than what you get at Christmas, better than what you get on your birthday. We receive this gift when we admit to God that we are a sinner and we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he died for all of the bad things we've done. And then he rose again. Have you believed in Jesus? That's a very important question. Have you told him that you're a sinner and asked for his forgiveness? I really hope you have. And if you're not sure, then why not talk to mum or dad after the service? Or you can come and talk to me. Children and adults, it's very simple. God tells us what he wants us to do. He tells us how to live in a way that pleases him and makes us truly happy. He tells us what to do, and then he promises to help us do it. Isn't that good? And it all begins with receiving forgiveness for our sins and receiving a new heart. I hope you have one. Amen.